We're back with more of the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
The John Murphy Show presented by NOCO from One Bills Drive. It is Super Bowl week down in New Jersey, New York, and on the line with us, a guy who knows his way around Super Bowl week, a guy who knows his way around the Hall of Fame election ceremonies as well. Bills Hall of Fame coach Marv Levy on the line with us. Marv, thank you very much for joining us. How are you today?
I'm doing great, John. It's great to join you again and all those fantastic fans there in Buffalo.
You know, folks around here still have fond memories of Super Bowl week, Marv. What goes through your mind? We're 20 years removed from your last appearance in the Super Bowl, but what goes through your mind when Super Bowl week comes around?
No, you never forget being there, and actually at the time when it happened, you say, are we really here? But it's exciting. It's a culmination of maybe what you thought about when you were a little kid and wanted to be in sports. There was no Super Bowl, by the way, when I was a little kid, but you get the gist.
Yeah, I recall maybe the third and fourth time that you brought the Bills to the Super Bowl. I recall you and Bill Polian talking about how the first few times you think, well, let's change this, let's change that, let's practice now, let's practice here. And by the third or fourth time, you kind of surrendered and said, let's just go win. Is that accurate? Is my memory accurate about the way you approach those games?
Yeah, in fact, John, after we had lost, I don't remember whether it was the second or the third time, we were riding back in the somber confines of our team bus to the hotel after the game, and Bill sort of turned to me and said, Marv, you know, the only thing that really counts is what you do after the kickoff. Yeah. And I think the focus on the game, not all the falderall around it.
Well, the falderall has increased exponentially since the 20 years that the Bills have been there, Marv. It's really something, a cultural phenomenon, and media day this week. I mean, it really has grown way out of proportion, I think. Do you agree?
Oh, it has. It's on and on and on. And, there's so many things about the Super Bowl that I do love and like. Some of it is you don't want to take the focus off the game. It's always perplexed me why they have such a long, ongoing a halftime show. It's about the game. No, it just came back to me. They have it because of all the commercials you can weave in during that time.
That's right. And is it necessary, and here I'm probably biting the hand that feeds me, is it necessary to have as many media availabilities as they have during the course of the week, the run-up to the game itself, Marv?
Well, it's something, John, we schooled our players, and it was not a, quote, distraction for us. We told them this is what it's going to be. Hey, isn't it better than not being here? It becomes tremendously repetitious after a while, but it adds to the excitement, I guess.
We're on the line with Marv Levy, the Hall of Fame coach from the Buffalo Bills, headed to the Super Bowl this week. Marv, one Super Bowl weekend I want to ask you about came 13 years ago, 2001, when you got word that Saturday before that you had been elected to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Tell us about that day and what that day was like waiting to get that call.
Well, you know, I knew at that time, John, I was one of the 15 finalists. The game was down in Tampa. And I remember we were in our hotel room watching on television. My wife was with me, my daughter Kimberly, and they made the announcements of the various people, and I don't know if I was the fourth or the fifth one mentioned, but they finally mentioned my name, and I was blown away. I really almost hadn't expected it. I was stunned. My daughter jumped up on the bed and started jumping up and down. I thought she was going to bang her head on the ceiling. She was so excited. But it was wonderful. And we had to go over to the media center after. And first guy to run up to me there was Bill Polian. And I remember Steve Tasker, too, coming. But it's something you can hardly believe.
How did that experience compare to 7 months later on the steps there at the Hall of Fame in Canton? Two great moments, I bet, but was one better than the other? Was the announcement, the election, just because of the unexpected nature of it, did that make that even more special than the actual enshrinement 7 months later?
Yeah, I'm trying to find out which was better. It's like like clapping your hands and saying which one made the noise. They're both wonderful. With the day that you finally are inducted and you stand on that platform and I looked out at the audience, so many people there, but in the audience also were many of the former Hall of Famers, guys that were legends like Chuck Bedarek, even from my younger days. And I see on their faces still this glow, like, am I really here? Look, It was inspiring.
You delivered, I believe, one of the great acceptance induction speeches of all time, Marv. And the point of your speech, your enshrinement speech, when you talked, I think I'm paraphrasing here, you said, you know, somebody asked me once if I wish I had a son, and you went on to say, I've had thousands of them. I thought, I mean, that brought me to tears out there in the audience in Canton. That was fantastic.
Yeah, I do recall saying that someone, you know, had a daughter, no son, and I said, but I've had thousands of them of every size, shape, color, faith, and temperament, and I love them every one, I meant it.
Great speech. Marv Levy on the line with us, a Hall of Fame coach from the Buffalo Bills, headed to the Super Bowl this week, and Marv will be there on this weekend when his player, Andre Reed, once again has a chance to be in the Hall of Fame. One of 15 finalists. I believe it's the eighth year that Andre Reed has been a finalist, Marv. He's waited. He's certainly been patient about this. He's waited his turn, hasn't he?
Yes, he has. He's handled it very graciously. I think he's tremendously deserving. You know, you can talk about statistics. When he retired, he was the third most prolific receiver of all time. But it went way beyond that with Andre, if you stop to think about it. We had a balanced offense. It wasn't just focused on one guy, and yet he racked them up. There was nobody ever in the history of the game, in my opinion, better at coming across the middle, more courageous. His nickname with our players was Yak, Y-A-C, not because he talked a lot, was yards after catch. And there's one other element with Andre, with all those statistics that you mentioned. He didn't get them in the in nice warm weather climate or in the comfy confines, I should say, of an indoor stadium. He got it in weather sometimes, which was tremendously challenging. Modest guy, team player. So deserving. I hope this is his year.
Marv, when you think about the way your offense ran, and now, Andre, you know, this year, another finalist is Marvin Harrison, the great receiver from the Colts, who played in a pass-oriented offense and played in an era when the game was much more wide open as far as the passing game. It's almost doesn't make sense to compare Andre's numbers to somebody like Marvin Harrison or some of the receivers who are coming up after him, because clearly now 15, 20 years later, Andre played in a different era of pro football, didn't he?
Yes, he did. It was maybe a style that our style of offense at that time may have ignited, but it was just the beginning of it. The type of offenses which have evolved since in the league. But Andre did, and again, not just statistics, all those other things. And around him were guys like Don Beebe and Pete Metzlars and Keith McKellar and James Lofton. And even Thurman was a great receiver out of the backfield. The ball was spread around a lot, and one of the reasons it was able to is that people thought they better double up on Andre.
Yeah. What do you recall about Andre when you arrived here in 1986, and that had to be his third year in the league, a fourth-round pick out of a little tiny school in Pennsylvania? What kind of a player was he when you first got here in 86, Marv?
Well, he was good. I didn't know much about him. Had been, as you say, a fourth-round draft choice out of a relatively smaller college environment. There had been a player picked in the draft by the Bills in an earlier round than Andre the same year, Chris Burkett, a good receiver. But when I practice started, I said, wow, this guy's good. Then about two weeks later, I said, this guy is really good. And then about a month later, I said, wow, we've got somebody special here.
You know, my memory too, Marv, is that every summer when you'd take your team to training camp in those years, the late 80s now, every summer it seemed Andre came back to camp a little bigger, a little stronger, and a little better. He had to be putting in a lot of work during the offseason to get as big as he got and as good as he got.
Yes, he did. He was a tremendous preparer. Physically worked at it very hard, and you're right, he developed, he matured. It wasn't on steroids. It was hard work. It was our great strength and conditioning coach, Rusty Jones, who helped so much in that category as well. And it was his teammates who encouraged him, and just the entire atmosphere. But deep down, basic to it, was his character and his desire.
You talked about Andre going over the middle. How much of a part of your offense was that, and what did teams try to do to take that away from you and Andre Reed, Marv?
Well, it's part of our offense, but, you know, he has to have a variety of routes he can run. As I say, we had a lot of other receivers who people were fearful of, but When I talked about him going over the middle, I was just talking about the courage that he had and the concentration he'd have on the ball, not on where am I going to get hit after I catch the ball. And he had that tremendous ability to make the catch and immediately transfer the putting it away and taking off for the opponent's goal line. Another really thing to remember about Andre, what he did in the great comeback game during the last 20 minutes of the game, I believe, he scored our last three touchdowns. And some of them were on, one of them I remember was on a 4th-and-11 situation, and another one with 4 minutes to go, the go-ahead touchdown. All of those were points that, again, add up to his wonderful resume.
Marv, if you had a chance to speak to the electors who will go in that room on Saturday, what would you say to them about Andre Reed to maybe put him over the top? What do you think would carry some weight with that group?
Yeah, well, first of all, I would acknowledge there are tremendously worthy guys in that final 15, two other receivers as well. I would say something I mentioned to you earlier, I would talk about his yards after catch, his work ethic, his team orientation, all of those things. But then again, I would strongly point out, John, the weather conditions under which he managed those weren't conducive to helping you stack up statistics. He did it anyway.
Marv, since you went in the Hall of Fame in 2001, several players from your teams, James Lofton, Thurman Thomas, Bruce Smith, Mr. Wilson, several players have gone in the Hall of Fame. Did you ever imagine that you'd be coaching, and Jim Kelly, I should add, did you ever imagine that?
I think he did, too.
Yeah, he did. That's right. Did you ever imagine when you were with that group back here in Orchard Park that you were talking to a room of Hall of Famers, potential Hall of Famers?
You didn't think in those terms then, no. You didn't. You thought in terms of how are we going to pick up the Steelers' zone blitz. That's what you were thinking about, or something of that nature. You didn't think about it, but as the years passed and you retired and you reflected back, I started to say, boy, we've got a bunch of guys who are merited, and I will savor the days to come and when they might go in. There are others, too, maybe because there are others on other teams, too. But, you know, the greatest special team player of all time, hands down, Steve Tasker. That's one-third of the game. Boy, if it is, I think we ought to recognize it by bringing someone in like that as well.
Marv, thank you for talking to us tonight. We appreciate it. Have a great time at the Super Bowl. We'll talk again soon.
Look forward to it, John. Always a pleasure. Thank you.
Marv Levy, Hall of Fame coach for the Buffalo Bills. Andre Reed, a finalist this Saturday. The electors will vote in New Jersey or New York. Yes, it's New York, Midtown Manhattan, on Saturday to decide whether Andre Reed goes in the class of 2014 for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. It is the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.